That church say amen.
Amen.
That church say amen again.
Amen.
And someone asked the question, why? Well, because. Just because he's God. That really settles it, doesn't it? Why? Because when I was growing up, I had a cousin of mine that, they, you know, young folks, when they're children, they get on this tip of asking questions. And they say, why? And they say, because. And you try to explain it. And they say, why? And you say, because. And you try to explain it. They say, why? So I flipped the switch because I got tired of trying to answer the question. So I flipped it. I said, why? He said, Cheerios. Close it up. I had no answer for that. He said, Cheerios. If you would turn to your Bibles to Acts the 8th chapter, the 27th verse, I want to dialogue with you for a little while around a common scripture. While you're getting that, given unto God the Father, to Jesus his Son, to the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to our under shepherd, our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, who I was inclined to wear a tie that matched his new robe, but I didn't have anything in gold and then leave mine at home. Sister Stinger, our first and only lady, to my first lady, Sheila, of 29 years, and my two grown boys, amen. They're grown men, as you were, amen. And to our MC, amen, Kayla, who's a ram in the bush, who's done a wonderful job, hasn't she now? Sister Haywood, amen. Love to see our young people active, to this choir, who has done such a marvelous job, and the musicians, and to our officials here, our deacons and deaconess, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel, amen. And to each of you God's children, it's so good to be with you on today. If you have it, Acts the 8th chapter. We'll begin our reading at the 27th verse, and I'll be reading to you from the King James Version. Amen. And it reads thusly. And he arose and went, and behold, and I'm in the 27th verse, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb from his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet of this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began as the scripture, at the same scripture, and preached, I say, and he preached unto him. He was preaching to one man. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What do it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, I stand as a messenger in need of your word. You said you would send forth your word into the earth, would not return unto you void. Lord, as you give us your word today, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, those seed deep, so deep within the crevices of your cross and behind it, until none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. We thank you today. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It has been a busy week.
Yes, sir.
The president's rating has gone up as a result of a number of decisions made. We've seen last week in Carolina, where people in church, where a safe haven was being shot. And then afterwards, churches being burned down. And then if you want to escape to the beaches, I was informed that there was a terrorist shooting on the beach. So that seemed to be nowhere you can find solace. I'm curious today. I'm placed in an interesting place today to proclaim the word of God to a people of God, which oftentimes we refer to ourselves as the church. And I think this is just my thinking this morning, I'll tell you. It's my thinking. I think sometimes we use the church as a crutch,
come on,
as an excuse and we lump it in a hole and say what the church is not doing or what the church should be doing, we miss our specific role in what we should be doing. There are those of us sitting here today with desires, with dreams, with wishes, with visions, with ambitions of things that we want to be and accomplish. We want to be the best we can be. We want to be the best Christian that we can be. We want to be the best lawyer, the doctor. We want to be teachers. We want to be et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we find ourselves oftentimes using a crutch not to do that. So I want to address that crutching situation this morning under the caption, "What's Stopping Me?" Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, what's stopping me?" Not about you today. This is all about me. What's stopping me? We live in a narcissistic world, a world where people are inclined to want to know with them, what's in it for me? I mean, we're inclined to be concerned about ourselves, and we claim in a generation call, we call them an X or Y generation, and we push it off and saying they're really concerned about themselves. Now, in reality, that may not be true if you look at what's taking place, but that's kind of our cop out. We're more concerned about ourselves, but when it comes to something being done or not being done, we often lump it into a group of folk and take ourselves out of the process and point our finger at them. But this morning, I don't want to excuse ourselves. I want us to get down to the nucleus of the problem. See, we don't want to talk about what the symptoms are. We want to get to the cause, because if I address my role in this, if I do my part, if everybody does their part, all parts will be taken care of. I mean, if we're singing in the choir, and if the sopranos and the tenors, and help me out now, you know the rest of them, the baritones, and they help me out now, alto, I don't want to forget the alto, because I was in the baritone, no tone at all, that's where I am. If they all did their part properly, then we could have some good singing going on. But if all the tenors decide they want to look at the sopranos for them not doing their part, then they don't do their part, then this whole thing is going to go wrong. If we just do our part in the church, all things would be done well. Amen. If I read the scripture correctly, the Bible tells me the Lord add to the church daily as he sees fit, which suggests to me that everybody here has a purpose that God has planted you to fulfill. I don't know if you know what it is, but you're not here to warm the seat. Amen. Because last time I checked, the seats didn't need to be warm. They served their purpose, which is to allow you to sit. That's all. Is that all right? So I want to address this morning. Let's stop pointing fingers and just let's ask ourselves the question, what's stopping me? What's stopping me from going and tell a dying world that because he lives, they live? What's stopping me from going out and feeding the hungry? What's stopping me from sharing a word to someone who's lost? What's stopping me from visiting the sick? What's stopping me from feeding somebody who's hungry, giving some water to somebody? What's stopping me from being an example for somebody to follow? What's stopping me? We look at our text this morning. I'm going to jump you ahead to where the eunuch asked the question, what's hindering me from being baptized? We're going to get to that point, but that's what we're trying to get to, because once he saw his purpose and what he needed to do to have a closer walk with the Lord, he says, what's hindering me? There's some water over there. Why can't we do it right here? When it's important to you, you understand you can find creative ways. Somebody said, they said necessity is the mother of invention. When you want to get something done and it's important to you, it's amazing how we find a way to get it done. But now it's something else when we don't want to do something. It's just hard. It's just hard when you don't want to. It can be easy, but if I don't want to do it, it's hard. Yeah, man, can I talk to you for a minute? We got that honey-do list around the house. The list is not that hard. I mean, we could go do the lawn. We could probably fix the door. It'd probably take 5 minutes to fix that little door. But, you know, it's not on our agenda right now, is it? It doesn't fit in the scheme. It's not important to us right now. So we need to shift and understand when it becomes important. What's hindering me? What's stopping me? In our text, we find that there are four things that the eunuch does that we should do if we don't want to be stopped. But I want to call them out in two ways. I want to identify the actions that prevent us and suggest to us what we can do to ensure that we're not stopped. Shall we start? So if we look at the first few verses, 27 and 28. The first thing he said, and he arose and went and beheld a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority, under Candace. He said he was sitting there. He had left worship in Jerusalem. Now, that was an odd thing for a eunuch, first of all, to be leaving church. There's a suggestion that they shouldn't be in the church. But here he's leaving worship, and he was leaving the church, and he was sitting in his chariot. And what was he doing? Reading the Bible. Reading from the prophet Isaiah. So the first thing I want you to know, the thing that keeps us that causes us to stop, is we're waiting. We're waiting. We're just waiting. What are you're waiting for? Instead of doing something, we're waiting. So I'm going to suggest a change that's keep you from stopping is start where you are. Don't wait for something. Stop waiting for something to happen. Too often we get so caught up in the finish line. Instead of running on to see what the end is going to be. We everybody looks at success as if it happened overnight. We look at people who are successful and we want to be that. We don't know the toils they went to Amen. To get to Amen. Be that. God, Mary Kay Ash said it. She said, God didn't have time to make a nobody, only a somebody. I believe that each of us has God-given talents within us waiting to be brought to fruition. If that is the truth, and I believe it is true, then we've got to understand, we've got to be about the business of doing what God called us to do. You're not going to be that saint or that Christian or that person overnight. It's going to take some development. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to go through some things. Not everybody is going to be on your side. Not everyone's going to call you a child of God. Not everyone's going to celebrate your success. But you got to start somewhere. Why not start? Well, y'all, Confucius or Leo Tao said it this way: the journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? Okay, you're going to go 1,000 miles to be sure, but if you don't ever take the first step, if you don't ever do something, so here it is. Oftentimes, we come to church on Sunday, much like this eunuch did, and we leave the church, much like this eunuch did, but what happens is that's where we diverge. The eunuch was on his way from church in his chariot, and he was reading the word. Something happened at church that impacted him so much so that he wanted to do a little bit more by way of discovery. So he spent a little bit more time in the word. We too often leave the church, and we don't get back to the word till next Sunday. And there are some of those who show up for Bible study. Some. If we are going to be who we are called to be, and not always learning and never coming into the truth, we've got to invest some time outside of church. If you're going to be who you are supposed to be, you've got to start where you'll stop waiting for this something to happen. Some of us would be great, but we'll keep waiting for some specific items that I got to have. Well, in order for me to be, to do this, I'm going to need the best computer. I'm going to need the best car. I like toys. I have to confess. I'm going to tell you a confession on myself. I like toys. And so sometimes I get caught up in the purchase of toys with the intent of, I'm going to do this when I get that. And so I get that, and all of a sudden, that's there. I got that nice thing, and I'm still not doing anything. And then they come out with a newer toy. Well, I'll do it when I get that. If you're not careful, all you're going to have is all these toys, and nothing is going to be done. So we need to be about the business of starting where you are. If you have nothing but a pencil and a piece of paper, if you have nothing, but do you understand that people have some of the greatest ideas have been done on tissue paper and just a pencil? Yes, and we got to have a Cray computer to get it done. Why don't we just start with what we have? Luke said it this way. He said, but which of you intended to buy, in the 14th chapter, 28 verse, to intended to build a tower, sit it not down first and count up the cost? The first action is first determine what it is you want to do. I mean, start somewhere. Don't spend all of your time. Whether you have sufficient, at least happily after you laid the foundation, not able to finish it, and all the behold begin to mock you, saying you start to finish, you were unable to finish. That's good advice. You're going to start something on a journey. Spend some time thinking about what it is you want to do. Timothy said this way, and Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly divided. So here he is in the chariot studying God's word. Yeah. If you're going to be that great of a Christian, you can start where you are. Pick up your Bible and study your Bible. Matthew said this way in 6 and 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Spend some time seeking God. Amen. Not what somebody said. Amen. Not what he said, she said. Not what you even think, but what God said. Seek him first. Exodus says it this way. He said that. Now, there was Moses. You all remember the story of the Israelites and how it was that Moses was called to go. And Moses came up with all kind of excuses. I mean, you know how we do. We come up with all kind of excuses. And Moses didn't speak well. I'm told he had a bit. He may have stuttered or stammered or something. But so he used his example of his speech and everything. And God had to give him someone to speak for him. But at this point in time, the Lord appeared to me. He said, hey, Lord, what shall I tell them? Who shall I tell? They're not going to believe me. They're not going to hearken to my voice. They're not going to say the Lord didn't appear unto you. He said, well, I tell you what. He said, what's in your hand? Y'all know the story of Matthew, Exodus, the 4th chapter, 1st and 6th verse. He said, what's in your head? He said, cast it on the ground. He had a rod in his hand. He cast the rod on the ground. And when he cast the rod down, it became a what? But it was when he put it out of his hand, God acted on the rod. And so now it's a snake. So now that it's a snake, God said, pick it up. But he said, don't just grab it by the head. He said, pick it up by the tail. Because I told you it was a snake. Anybody ever grab a snake by the mouth? See, when God acts on it, it's different now that God is acting on it. So he said, be very specific. Take it by the tail. And when he picked it up, it became a rod again. But this rod that he had now was the same rod, but it was a rod that God had acted on. What am I saying to you? We are the same people that we were before God touched our lives. But when God touches our lives, there's something different on the inside. And when you have that something different on that somebody that's different on the inside, you're a changed person. We've got to allow ourselves to start where we are and let God have his way with our lives. And then the difference, we can stop waiting on that thing to happen. Stop waiting on the church to get right. Stop waiting on everybody to do what they're supposed to do. Stop waiting on somebody else. And you do what you're supposed to. Start where you are. I didn't go to the best school. I didn't have an education. I don't have suffering. Okay, that's fine. Start where you are. I'm too old. You know some of the most successful people in the world didn't start until they were after 40s? Some of the best, greatest businesses out there were developed by people who were after 40, 50 years old. And you still waiting, still waiting. Stop waiting. Start where you are. Number two, 29 to 31st verse. The Spirit of the Lord was on Philip and said, go get closer to him. And he said, Philip asked him a question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? This one I call stop wondering. If you want to stop and go somewhere, the first thing you got to do is stop wondering. Stop thinking and speculating what the answer is. Know what you don't know. There's a thing called paralysis by analysis. We spend so much time in our head and analyzing something that we get no action. No, we need a little bit more information. I need a little bit more information. I need a little bit more of a why. Why? Do you know the God that we serve requires that we walk by faith and not by sight? Yeah. So if we're going to be connected to him, we got to understand, get out of our head, stop wondering about it, start and then know what you don't know and then be willing to know, to engage someone who has the answer. Don't think you are more than what you are. Romans 12, and I'll bear myself out there, for 12 and 3, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according to God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So whether you believe it or know it or not, we all been given a measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'm saying this because, see, we got to be careful of where our mind is. Some of us get so heady. We think we know everything already. Can't tell you nothing. You know how it ought to be done. I get tickled when I listen to people in church giving instruction on how things are supposed to be done. And what they don't even know is that all they're doing is telling what somebody else told them. It's not written in the book. You know, you grew up in Parkdale, Arkansas. And this is the way they did it in the little church in Parkdale, Arkansas. That's where I'm from, so I can talk about it. And this is how they did it, and that's all you know. You didn't do any reading. You don't understand why they did it. You don't even know what the communion really is all about, I'm talking about me. And then, so then all of a sudden, you see people doing it, and this is how they're supposed to do it. Because all you did was you saw how they taught you, and now you hold it. I think they call that in the Bible traditions. And then Jesus had a problem with those who the tradition was flying in the way of the gospel. So we got to understand some of this stuff that we all in our heads, we think we know, we need to understand. We might not know what we think we know. Do some studying. Do like the eunuch did. Spend some time in the world and start to understand that when you start to realize what I came to know when I started to study God's word, I started to realize that I myself, and the psalmist said this in Psalm 139:5, he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain. I started to realize I didn't have the answer. I realized I didn't know everything. So I had to stop judging folks. Because I realized I didn't. I saw you slap him, but I don't know why you did it. Maybe you were killing a bug. Maybe he deserved to be slapped. I don't know. But I realized I didn't have all the answers. The more I studied God's words, I realized I didn't have all the answers on who God is and how God operates. I started to see some patterns in the Bible when I studied the stories of old, but then I started to hear grandmama how God reacted in her life, and then I started experiencing God in my life, and I started to realize this God that I had made so small was so much bigger. Amen. It's too wonderful, I can't obtain it. Stop wondering, stop spending time with yourself and wondering about yourself and get to know who God is. There was a passage in John, the 9th chapter, y'all know this story, about this blind man, and they said to him, man, hey, you know you were blind, give God the glory. Mm-hmm. And they asked him a question, this man is a sinner. He said, well, I don't know if he was a sinner or not. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. Well, I don't know what he did or how he did it. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Church, what I'm saying, church, we need to stick to what we know. Too often time we go over top, we give him way extra. You don't even know about that. You're just something. You don't know about astrology and eschatology. You don't, but you're trying to talk it. You don't even know what somebody said theology around you. You using it out of context, but it sounds good. Know what you know and get to know some more. The more I learn, the less I know. We got to understand, he said, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how to spill the water rubbed on the exterior part of my eye, my eyelashes, my eyelids could cause the rods, the cones, the light sensitive nerve cells lying in the back of the retina to experience a chemical change and transmit an upside down image by the optic nerve to the brain where it's unscrambled and turned. I don't know if it was a rubbing on or the washing off. I don't know if it was the going or the coming, the washing or the drying. I don't know what it was. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Church, I was like that blind man. I know some things, but there's a lot that I don't know. I'm wrestling with some things in my life. I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. But I know that the cow on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. I don't know if the antediluvian ages is followed by the present ages, by the ages of ages, but I know that God is the same today, to yesterday and forevermore. I don't know how fall of night follows day, or day fall of night, but I know God is the same every day. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I don't know how he did it. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I got a problem with the question, though, when I think about it, because you're asking me how. That's just the question. And I know that, and that's the answer. See, I don't know how he did it, how he healed me, but I know that I'm healed. I don't know how he changed me, but I know that I'm changed. I don't know how it rained, but I know that it's raining. I hope y'all got that. Too often we get caught up in the question when we already have the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. I said Jesus is the answer for the world today. You getting caught up in the question whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know that. All I know is I was blind. So stop wondering. Stop wondering, because wondering will cause you to stop. The third thing is I need you to do is stop wallowing. And by wallowing, you're rolling around. This means rolling around with yourself in an indolent and an ungainly manner. Just giving up. Just in there, just doing stuff. Y'all know what wallowing is, right? Anybody else? See, I'm from Arkansas. You seen a pig in mud? Just having a good time. You know, wallowing and you're in the mud because it's hot outside. And I'm just going to speak for the pig now. It's hot out there. And the water, the mud is the only thing cool around here. So, I mean, he's all in it just loving life. Some of us are like the, well, anyway, yeah, we right where we are, and we're not going anywhere because we need some help, but we're not going to seek any help. We just in one place, just wobbling around, just doing it. You know what it calls ignorance is doing the same thing and expecting different. I'm not calling anybody ignorant. I'm just saying what ignorance is, the definition of insanity. That's what it is. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Some of us has been doing the same thing for years, and nothing has changed, and we still keep doing it, as if tomorrow is going to be different. It's kind of like the three-point shooter in the NBA. If I'm a three-point shooter, if I just keep on shooting, I might miss, but if I keep on shooting, you need to understand in life, maybe you ought to just take a two-point shot. See the ball go through the goal, then go back to the three-point line. I'm just saying. Stop wallowing. Look at what happened with Philip. Philip was at the chariot reading. And he didn't understand what he was reading. So the Lord did, and I love this because when you're doing what God desires you, God would take care of it. God did a few things. He took Philip, he sent an angel to Philip first and put him in position so he could hear the eunuch reading. And then the Spirit spoke to Philip and say, go closer. And when he got closer, he said, now, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And I like this part because it was the eunuch now that Philip is now hearing him. Now, the eunuch is taking the next action. He's not going to wallow where he is. He understands that he doesn't know what he knows, so he accepts and asks for help. So if you want to stop stopping and start moving, you need to accept and seek help. Nothing wrong with asking for help when you need help. And I got tickled when I was studying this because I said, you know what? In all of my Christendom, I get more people asking for financial, material, natural, physical help, and very few people asking for spiritual help. And they get mad at me because the bank is closed. I hope y'all got that. We need more people asking for spiritual help. You don't go to church to get money out the bank. You don't go to church so you can pay your tithe. And then I start asking, I gave, now you got to give to me. You go to church for spiritual help. You need to be here to get fed on the word of God to understand what it is God wants for you to do and what your purpose in life is. Not, I give, Lord, I gave my tithe, so I know you about to hook a brother up. We just walling. But I hear him saying Luke the 9th chapter, he said, ask and it shall be given. He said, seek and you shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. There's nothing wrong with seeking help when you need help, because God says, it's all right. You can come and you can ask me. I heard him say in Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, 8 to 12 verse, he said, now two are better than one. If they fall, one will lift them up. If two lie together, they will produce heat. There's nothing wrong with having help when you need help. The psalmist said this way in Psalm 121 and 1 and 2. He said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence coming my help. Where is it? My help coming from? It's nothing wrong, he said in James 4 and 10. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll do what? Lift you up. If you're willing to stop walling and understand I need some help and just turn it over to the Lord. The Lord said in Philippians 4 and 19, but my God will supply all your needs according to what? His riches and glory. Genesis said in 50, he said, now well, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. See, you tried to turn it around, but see, when I turn it over to and put it in God's hand, God meant it for my good. Not only that, no weapon formed against me. Y'all read that in Isaiah 54 and 12. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, because I'm leaning on the Lord. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The Lord will take care of you if you just turn it over to him. We are not just righteous ourselves. We are made righteous. Now, it's not about you. Now, you think you good. And you all that, but let me just let you know that your goodness and your righteousness is not about you. God will make you righteous if you would just yield to him. The last thing, I got to close with this one here. The last thing you need to do, if you want to stop, why? What's stopping me? Well, if you want to answer that question, you're wishing. Wishing will prevent you. Wishing, that's wanting, desire, and longing for wishing. Stop wishing for stuff and get up and do something. Act now on what you have learned and what you believe. Stop wishing. People are going to die. We're going to have some millionaires die poor.
That's right.
Because they're wishing. Amen. Look at what happened here. He looked over there in the 36th and 40th verse, and he saw the water. He didn't say, you know, I sure do wish you would let me go. He said, no. What's to hinder me? What's to stop me for being baptized right now? He stopped the chariot. Understand, this is my chariot. Some water over there. You've been talking about this all this time. So I know it's a requirement, so I want to get in there. You okay with that? But the Bill said, well, if you believe. No, I got the belief part. Let's go. They went down and baptized. I want you to see something, though. There was something that happened before he preached. Now, remember I mentioned earlier, he preached. Philip preached to him. The Bible said, how should they hear without preaching? Here was one man out there and one man that was being talked to, two of them together. And here it is, Philip, them taking a text. So much so that he has influenced the life of this individual that now he wants to be baptized. Stop wishing for stuff and start doing stuff. There's nothing wrong with an idea, but to have an idea and do nothing with it is just an idea. But an idea can be translated into action if you get up and do something with it. You want to see your dreams come true, your vision become reality? They don't come by laying in the bed dreaming about it.
Yes, sir.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
I mean, some of us, I laid in the bed this morning. I got up this morning early. And I went in late last night, so I don't get but a few of those hours anyway. But then this morning, I got up early and I studied, and I got back in to get 30 minutes. And they go fast because it's like, woo, I just laid down, and all of a sudden, the alarm clock is going off again. And so Sheila gone, she's going to get on up, and I said, well, just turn the light on. I'm going to get up just in a minute. And I'm laying there, and I was going through these W's, right, because what's stopping me from getting out of bed? And I was wishing I had more time. I was wishing I had all the answers for this sermon. So finally I rolled out of bed and got to moving, and the girl and Lord started speaking. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You can't lay in bed with a dream. If I laid in bed and thought about this sermon, how this sermon was going to be preached today, and at this time, and all of a sudden I didn't show up, it wouldn't get preached. But you got to show up. I think I ministered to somebody. And I said, you need to show up. James tells us in 1 and 20, he said, be doers of the words and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You think that just because you know words and you can talk word and you can speak word and you can combine words that you've done something? It's not about the words. It's about the words and action. James says in 2 and 14, he said, what do the prophet, brother man, and say, I have faith and have not work. Can faith save him? You can't just say, talk about what you believe. You got to execute. Love is an action word, somebody say. I heard him say in Philippians 2 and 12, he said, work out your soul. Work out. Somebody say, work out. Somebody say, work out. Somebody say, work out. If I had some young people here, we'd do a rap. Work out your own salvation. Don't rust out. Don't rest out. Don't remember out. Work out. We've got to be about the business of doing something. Help me out. Help me. The prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke, the 15th chapter? There was this young man who got all of his stuff, and he went off into a foreign country and wasted all his stuff in wild living. And when he got so hungry, he would eat the husk that he went out, and he was a Jew, and he was out feeding the swine, which was just, first of all, that's the lowest of low. That's called what you call looking up to see bottom. So he's looking up to see bottom now, and he wants to eat the husk that the wine swine did eat. But then he came to himself. I love that. Because the Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's in the pig pen, but he came to himself. Now, I want you to see this, because he said, now he's talking about it. He said these words. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And here's what I'm going to say to him. Our father, I've sinned against heaven, and am now say, I'm no more worthy to be called our son. Now, understand, he hasn't moved one step. He's still in the pig pen. And now he's talking about what he's already rehearsing what he's going to say. But if he had stopped right there, he'd be still wishing. If you want to stop, stop it. And get to going, stop wishing and get to stepping.
Yes, sir.
Here's what he said. And he arose.
Yes, sir.
And when he got up, all of a sudden everything started to motion. He arose and he came to his father, and his father was already there waiting on him. He saw him a long way off. He said, "Now get the party started. My son is home." He was lost and now he's found. He was blind, but now he sees. Church, let's stop wishing for stuff and let's start acting on some stuff. Why is this important? Because in the last day when Jesus come back, he said, "I'm going to do some separating. Now, I'm going to put the goats on one side. I'm going to put the sheep on the other side." And last time I checked, the only delta, the only difference in the two is one was doing something and the other was doing nothing. He said, when I was hungry, this one over here, he fed me. This one did nothing. When I was outdoors, you invited me in. When I didn't have shelter, when I was sick, you get the picture. He said, you did something over here. He said, come on up a little bit higher. Church, let's stop wishing and let's start acting. We can wish we'll be this type of church. I wish you would. I sure wish that these seats would be full, but what's stopping me from helping to get these seats full? I sure believe that we're going to be that kind of church. I sure wish, yeah, well, it relies on you. Everybody here has an individual responsibility as a member of the church. I mean, the church with Lord and this church here locally. We've got a responsibility to do our part. What's stopping me? Am I waiting? Well, let me suggest, start where you are. Wait on the Lord only, but don't wait on nobody else. Secondly, stop wondering. Know what you don't know. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and let the Lord lift you up. Stop wallowing. Accept and seek help. Look for somebody to help you when you don't know. I'm talking about spiritual help. Fourthly, stop wishing. Act right now and learn something. Use what you've already learned. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I know both have to be hungry and I know how to be full, because I live that kind of life. Church, we got to understand that we're on the Lord's side. And when we're on the Lord's side, I heard him say to us that, wait a minute, you're greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I heard him say, you're more than a conqueror. I heard him say, well, now, when I get to see him, somebody say, when I get there, I'm going to tell him about how you cheated me. I'm going to tell him how you lied on me. I'm going to tell him about how you talked about me, how you called me everything but a child of God. But what's stopping me? Was it you stopping me? Was it the situation stopping me? Were the circumstances stopping me? What was stopping me? Well, I don't want to get in the conversation with him about what stopped me, because I heard him say, you did run well, but who hindered you? I don't want him to get in the conversation, but you almost made it, but you stopped. You were almost good, but you stopped. You had your ticket in the hand. You almost made it, but you stopped. You were coming to the gate. Peter was going to let you in, but you stopped. I don't want to have a conversation about why I stopped. I'd rather hear him say, well done. I said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What does that mean? Does that mean I never stopped? Well, does that mean I didn't go through something? No. He said, you didn't fight a great fight. He said, you fought a good fight. It wasn't great by no stretch of your imagination. There was time when you were down when you should have been up. There was time when you were up when you should have been down. There was time when you should have been smiling, but you had a frown on your face. There was time you should have told the truth, but you told her. What's stopping me? Well done. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. I don't need any great servants. I just need some good and faithful servants. I mean, church opens on Sunday, every Sunday. Can I get some faithful servants? There needs to be some work around here. I don't need every inch of trash to be taken up, but somebody got to pick up the trash. Can I have some good service? Good and faithful servants. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. Come on up a little bit higher and take your rest. What's stopping me from going to heaven? What's stopping me? We should spend our time asking ourselves that question regularly. God has greatness for each one of us. But if we don't engage ourselves on what our purpose is and how God wants to use us, we will miss it. So let's spend some time. I love this. I'm about to take a shower. Let's spend some time engaging God on what he would have us to do. Not looking across at somebody else. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. I need to have a relationship with God for myself. There are times when I feel like giving up. If I rely on you and you're busy and you can't help me, that gives me more reason to give up. But if I turn to God, who is always there, always has an answer. In fact, he's saying, look, I'm trying to get you to your extremity because your extremity is my opportunity. Once you let go, I can take care of it. But you're busy holding on. But if we turn to God, this is about the individual. So I'm going to extend the invitation today to the individual. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sin, I'm asking you, if you would now, get to know him for yourself. This is about you. This is not about somebody else. Nobody here has a heaven or hell to put you in. We want to see you go. We want to see you. We want to meet you there. But if you're here and you don't know him, this is your invitation. Well, what do you have to do? Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here, all you have to do is just confess and believe. He doesn't make it hard for you. He's trying to make it as easy as possible to get to know him as your Savior. He wants to take full control so that you will be in control. Because right now, if you don't know him, you are out of control and don't even know it. If you're here today, this is your invitation to please come. God has a plan and a purpose for you. I want you to know what it is. Come today. If you're here and you already know the Lord and you're looking for somewhere to use the talent and gift that God has given you, and you need somewhere to do that, this I extend the invitation to you. Maybe you're already saved, but you need a church home so you can exercise your gifts. We invite you to come at this time. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If you're here, I extend this invitation to you to become a part of the laborers here. Much work to be done, much that we don't even know that we need to be done, so we need somebody, and we know God will add you to make us complete. If you're here today, the invitation is going out to you. Church, individually, I'm talking to each one of us individually. I believe, based on my call and no one answering, that everybody here is saved. I'd like to honestly say that's the truth, but I don't believe that is the truth at all. That means we've got some work to do. So what's stopping me from going out and finding out who's here that may not know the Lord? What's stopping me from living the kind of life that someone would want to follow? Someone can come crying, what must I do to be saved? What's stopping me? God bless you. God bless you, Pastor.